Good morning, everyone. Hope you're doing well today. Thank you for being here for worship. Hope you've enjoyed your time as we celebrate all that God's done in our lives and have this great time of fellowship together. I want to invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 1. That's what we're going to be studying today, Mark chapter 1, as we continue in our series on the Gospel of Mark. Happy Father's Day to all the dads in the room, and then I know there are several guys who will be dads soon, so happy early Father's Day to all of you. While you're turning to Mark chapter 1, verse 35, let me tell you about a few things going on in the life of our church. We have mentioned already Student Life Camp this coming week. That's a huge week for us as our teenagers go off and are challenged by the gospel. They have a great experience together. A lot of kids accept Christ, others who feel called to ministry, all types of decisions that are made during the Student Life Camp. So pray for our students as they go away. We have some kids going to music camp. What a great time of enhancing their worship skills and developing them into future worship leaders. So we're excited about that as well. Coming up this Wednesday, this doesn't fit everyone's schedule, but Wednesdays at 2 o'clock, we have a doctrinal study we've been going through. And during the summer weeks, we're talking about the end times. What does the Bible teach us about the last things? So that'll be this Wednesday at 2 o'clock. We'll have coffee and cookies if it fits your schedule. We meet in the administrative building across the street. And we're going to be studying the rapture this week and talking about beliefs surrounding that doctrinal position. So that'll be this Wednesday at 2 o'clock. Then next Sunday night, you're going to hear more about this later in the service, the next week especially. But next Sunday night, we will have an evening service. We have a Christian apologist coming. That's someone who teaches on defending the faith. So they're going to come, and this guy's going to talk about various issues that Christians face in culture, and especially the issue of gender issues that are going on right now in the culture around us. So I know it'll be a pertinent topic for you to learn about, something very hard as you try to navigate those waters and talk to your kids. So be here next Sunday night for that. All right, well, Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 35 down through verse 39. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place, and there he was praying. Simon and his companions searched for him, and when they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let's go on to the neighboring villages so that I may preach there too. This is why I have come." Would you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you so much for this time of study. I thank you for all these who have assembled today to be part of the church, the fellowship of believers here at Thomasville First Baptist Church. God, encourage us by your word. We believe in it. We hold it as true and right, spoken by you, delivered to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher and our helper today as we consider this passage and understand more about the power of prayer and why we need to have a healthy, well-developed prayer life. So help us toward that end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this life can really leave us exhausted and exasperated. Life can be really overwhelming and stretch us really thin. I know a lot of you feel that way right now in your life. I read in a devotional recently a sweet story about two seminary students who were out doing summer evangelistic work in a rural area. And one hot day, they stopped their car on this dirt road in front of a farmhouse. And as they proceeded up the dirt path to the house, they went through a gauntlet of screaming kids and barking dogs. They knocked on the screen door, and the woman there at the home stopped her scrubbing over a tub and a washboard, brushed back her hair, wiped the perspiration from her brow, and asked the two young men what they wanted. One of the students responded, "We would like to tell you how to obtain eternal life." And that tired homemaker hesitated for a moment and then replied this way, "Thank you, but I don't believe I could stand it." Some of you today feel like that lady. It's not that we don't want eternal life, it's just that this life is wearing us out. It's overwhelming us. It's getting us way too stretched out and way too worn down. We're told that, you know, modern conveniences are going to make life simpler. We maybe think back to some of us when we were younger, we didn't have some of the technology and the things afforded to us today to keep us connected. And it seemed like all these advances in technology would help make life simpler, quicker, but what we have found is it just makes life more complicated. It causes greater complexity. Sociologists in the 1960s were really perplexed about the future. They saw all these changes coming in society, and their prediction was that the big problem in the 21st century would be that people had too much free time on their hands. Technology had just taken over to the degree that they had nothing else they could do. How many of you feel like that today? Not at all. You feel like technology is invading your life. You feel like your work and your personal life has integrated together, and we become the most hurried and stressed out generation the world has ever known. I had a great experience just recently. I was at home one Saturday, and I noted that it was really peaceful. My phone had not been ringing. It wasn't buzzing from emails and voicemails and text messages and all that stuff that blows your phone up. And I thought, what a quiet afternoon. And then after a while, I took my phone and was going to look something up and open it up and realized it was on airplane mode. And then I turned that off, and all of a sudden, the flood came. And that's what life is like. It just comes in waves over us. It's always something, isn't it? It's the calls, the texts, the appointments, the things you got to run your kids to this summer. There's so much going on, and it gets so overwhelming. All the things we have to do that just wear us out in this world. Now, no matter the level of stress or fatigue that you have at this moment, one thing is for sure, we can all agree on, life depletes you. Life drains you. The cares of this world, they sap our strength and they impede our passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want us to do today is to discover from our passage how we can have renewed strength, how we can be rejuvenated, how we can find once again our fervor and passion for the Lord. What is the secret? What can bring that about? How can we live a balanced life and a life that feels like it's in sync and not completely stressed out? The secret to it all is to maintain an active prayer life. That's what we discover in our study here in Mark. Now, if you've been here previous weeks, you know that we've observed Jesus in full swing from the outset of his ministry. It has been wide open. As a matter of fact, in the Gospel of Mark, about 40 to 42 times, Mark, as he writes the story of Jesus, uses the word immediately. Immediately, Jesus went here. Immediately, Jesus did that. Immediately, Jesus went over here and did this other thing. Immediately, immediately, immediately. In other words, Jesus is not the kind of person to let grass grow under his feet. He would be the kind of person who's active, who's busy, who's accomplishing things. And now we come to this place where he's been tempted and tried in the desert. He's been out there calling forth his ministry team. He's been preaching. He's been healing. He's been casting out demons. And most recently, if you looked at it with us last week, Jesus apparently had pulled an all-nighter. Now, all these folks were coming to the door of Peter's house needing to be healed, needing to be helped, and Jesus met the needs of one person after another. All night long, people were coming there to Peter's house. I've noticed as I've become older, I hate to even say that, it's hard to get it out of my mouth, but I'm aging like all of you, and as I'm getting older, I've noticed I can't do as much as I used to. I can't stay up as late as I once did. When I was in youth ministry, we had these things that the devil has brought into the earth called lock-ins, and I did lock-ins, and we would stay in a gym with dozens and dozens of teenagers all night long, and my job was to be the hired policeman that walked around and made sure the kids didn't get in trouble as they stayed all night in a gym. So I would do that, and the next day, I could just sleep a couple hours, be right back at it. Early in marriage and ministry, with kids and a wife and going to school and pastoring a church, I would spend time with the family, put the kids to bed, 8:30, whatever time. Cindy might go to bed about 11, and then I would go to my study. I would open my school books, my sermon books. I would write papers, write sermons, 4 or 5, many times watching the sun come up in the morning, working all night, and then just sleeping a little bit and right back to it. Not anymore. Those days are gone. Jesus had that type of initiative, that type of strength, that type of passion and fervor for what he was doing. And it must have left him completely exhausted. You can imagine Jesus doing all these things we've seen already, pulling this all-nighter. Sleep was hard to find. It was insufficient. But Jesus teaches us how he found strength, how prayer empowered him to live an effective life. Because Jesus could have become too tired to minister, too worn out to fulfill his purpose in life, but he stayed on point spiritually. How about you today? Where has life left you? Are you weary? Are you overwhelmed and stressed out about life? Do you feel like life has just worn you down spiritually? Do you feel like the fire has faded, like you've lost your passion and your zeal for the Lord? If you feel today like the fire of your heart has been doused with a bucket full of cold water, I want you to know that you can have that fire renewed. You can be spiritually on fire for the Lord again, and prayer is what will make all the difference. So, to be renewed through prayer, there are several things we need to note today. Number one, you need to know this. Prayer requires a plan. It takes a plan if you're going to have a powerful and effective prayer life. If you're going to reignite the fire of your heart for the Lord, you have to have a prayer plan. Verse 35, look at what it says again. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place, and there he was praying. Now, what I want you to note is that you're never going to happen into a meaningful prayer life. A lot of folks today, if you're honest, you'd admit your prayer life is not what it should be. You may spend moments, minutes, seconds, no time at all perhaps. You would acknowledge that your prayer life is not like it needs to be. Most Christians I talk to express that their prayer life is not what it should be. One thing is certain, you will not happen into a meaningful prayer life. You have to make that choice. Your life is like my life. It's like everyone else's life. You are very busy. There are plenty of demands on your life each and every day. Think about it. It happened today. You spoke to people in the hallway. You spoke to people when you came in. You asked the question, how are you doing? Or someone asked you the question, how are you doing? What was the answer? Almost always, in our day and time, the answer is one word, busy. Pay attention to it and watch. When you talk to people and ask, how are you doing? Oh, I've just been so busy. Work's been really crazy. We're always so busy. We run ourselves ragged trying to do so many things, and we never find time to connect with God because the tyranny of the urgent prevents us from spending time with God like we know we should as Christian people. But what I want you to see here is that Jesus took time for prayer. He had a prayer plan. Jesus, who is the eternal God incarnate, the creator of all things, who according to Colossians 1:16 holds everything in his power, and yet still Jesus prayed in order to live a godly life full of power. If Jesus had to do that, how much more do we have to do it in our lives? Now, when we talk about spending time in prayer, a lot of people try to convince themselves of this. Well, the Bible says pray without ceasing. So I may not get up early in the morning or stay up late at night, but what I do is when I'm riding down the road, I pray. When I'm standing in line, I pray. And I don't want to discount that today, but you're really kind of saying that if you don't need a designated time to pray, and it's praying enough when you're in line and in traffic and all the rest, you're saying that you are more spiritual than Jesus, because the one who holds all things in his hand lived in the spirit of prayer, but he also needed regular times of prayer, and therefore so do we. Every Christian knows that you need to have a set time for prayer, and you have to plan that time for prayer or it simply will not happen. I want us to see, as we think about this prayer plan, that we need a plan for prayer. There are three things we would note about the prayer plan of Jesus. First of all, it was a time of sacrifice. Even after all the fatigue, after all the lack of sleep, all that he had done until the pre-dawn hours of the morning, he got up early and he met with God. Now, I know what I would have done. My carnal side, I would have said, well, I'm going to sleep in. After all, I've been doing all this stuff for the Lord, all that time, all that investment. It's my turn to kick back and relax and get some rest. And that's why I have so far to go, to be like Jesus. This was the only time that Jesus could find to be alone with God. And for Jesus, it was worth whatever the cost. So what sacrifices would you make to make time for the Lord? For you, it might be that you need to get up a little earlier so that you can pray. It may be that you need to spend some time before you go to bed and carve out some designated time and make a sacrifice instead of maybe watching something on TV or spending time on social media or doing whatever else you like to do, spending time with friends or whatever, to carve out some designated time to spend with the Lord, because you know the sacrifice is worth it. I'll tell you this. If you're too busy to pray, you're just too busy. I had a book in my study one time, Too Busy Not to Pray. It took me forever to get to it. I was too busy. I never could find time to read it. But if you're too busy to pray, then you're just too busy. I heard this interesting little story. It's a little devotional thought. Listen to what it says here. It's kind of cheesy, but it makes a great point. Some years ago, a young man approached the foreman of a logging crew and asked for a job. The foreman replied, "Well, that depends. Let me see you fell this tree." Well, the young man stepped forward and skillfully felled a really big tree. The foreman was incredibly impressed and had said, "You can start on Monday. I would love to have you on my crew." Well, Monday happened. Tuesday, Wednesday, he's working away. On Thursday, the foreman came to him and said, "You can pick up your paycheck at the end of the day." Well, the young man was really confused. He said, "I thought you paid on Friday." And the foreman said, "Normally we do, but we're letting you go today because you've fallen so far behind of all the other loggers." He said, "As we looked at our charts, you chopped down the most trees on Monday, and slowly you dropped down to last place on Wednesday." Well, the young man was really puzzled. He was really upset. He said, "Listen, I'm a hard worker. I'm the first to come here. I'm the last one to leave at the end of the day. I work all the way through my coffee breaks." And the foreman thought about it. He thought, you know, this guy is a hard worker. He's a young man of integrity. And he thought, what in the world's going on that he fell so far behind? And he asked this very fundamental and simple question: "Have you been sharpening your axe?" And the reply of the young man was, "No, I've been too busy." And that's what it's like for a lot of us. We're busy, 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 even doing things we feel are productive, even doing things we feel like are godly. And we're so busy doing stuff, we never take time to step back and sharpen our axe that we might be more effective for the Lord by spending time in prayer, because we're just so busy. And culture has created that in us, that the busier we are, the more productive we feel about our lives. Let me give you a great statement I heard a preacher say one time. Because a lot of times we're like, we're too busy to pray, too much to do, got to get to it, got to go work hard and do the things I'm supposed to do. Listen to the statement: "Give your time to the Redeemer, and the Redeemer will redeem your time." Time you spend each day carved out to spend it with the Lord and to pray is time well invested. It will sharpen the axe, so to speak, so that you can be more productive in what the Lord has called you to do. You need to make the sacrifice. Second thing we know about Jesus' time in prayer, it was a time of solitude. Jesus didn't go to Peter's kitchen table and try to pray where everybody was gathered for breakfast. He didn't go down to the local coffee shop. He didn't pray while he was making his way through traffic or scrolling through Instagram. No, he got alone with God. I think for us, if we're honest today, we've lost our ability to sit still and experience silence. Everywhere we go, we fill the atmosphere with noise, don't we? You're going to get in the car and you're going to maybe have conversation. You're going to turn on the radio. You're going to have the TV on when you get home. Everywhere we go, it's noise. It's either sound that we're pumping out of things or things visually we're scrolling through, and we're so distracted, always with a cell phone in hand, some other thing to do. And what we need is some time disconnected from devices and distractions, putting aside everything and everyone so that we might connect with God. What did Jesus do? He got up and he went to a solitary place. He found a place of solitude to commune with God. For many of us today, that's what we're missing: times of solitude, times of escape from everything else to spend with God. A third thing we see in this prayer plan, it was a time of sincerity. We're told that Jesus went to a solitary place, and what did he do there? He prayed. He didn't fall asleep while he was talking to God. He didn't think about the billion things he had to do that day. He simply talked to the Lord. How many of you, if you're honest, have ever been in bed at night, and you think, well, I'm going to spend some time, I'm going to pray. It's been a busy day, I haven't done that, so I'm going to pray. And you start praying, and then the alarm clock goes off and it's morning and you wake up. You fell asleep while you were praying. You get to a time of prayer and all you do, you start, "Lord, help me with this day. It's a busy day." And then when you say busy day, you start thinking of all the things you have to do that day. You are busy. I got to go to the grocery store. I got to go to the doctor's appointment. I got to do this thing at work. And you get distracted. You start daydreaming about the things you're praying about. Have you been there like I've been there? you get distracted, you fall asleep, whatever the case may be. I had a friend in college, he had a solution. He kept falling asleep in prayer, and he was really bothered by that. He felt like he wasn't showing reverence to God, falling asleep. Instead of devoting that time to prayer, he said he'd start praying, and minutes later he'd be asleep. So he started getting on his knees and praying not in the bed. He was on his knees on the floor, and he still would fall asleep, kneeling on the floor. So he found the greatest solution of all. He took a candle and he lit it and he knelt down on the floor and he prayed. That way he would either light himself on fire or the house on fire if he fell asleep. It kept him awake. He came to class with one eyebrow missing, but I don't know if that was connected or not. Listen, you do what you have to do to spend time communing with God. If your mind wanders, get a pad and a paper, jot down a note, and get back to prayer. But plan a sincere time for personal prayer. It will enable you to be spiritually nourished. It will once again set your heart on fire for the Lord. Prayer is so very important. How does it help us? Number two, we see this prayer plan. Number two, we find that prayer renews our strength. When Jesus was sapped of strength, he turned to God in prayer. Listen to this passage. Some of you need this encouragement today from Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Youths may become faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not be faint. Here Jesus had people to heal, demons that need to be cast out. Eventually, of course, a cross he was to die on. But Jesus needed to pray in order that he might have the power to press on. In only two other places does Mark mention Jesus praying. One's in this passage, in Mark chapter 6, after walking on the water, and in Mark chapter 14 at Gethsemane. All three times were times of crisis, when Jesus was tired, when he was tempted to take it easy rather than pressing on to suffer and to die for our sins. When Jesus needed power to face the cross, he found power in prayer. And today, you can experience that same power. You can tap into that same power that empowered Jesus Christ, power that will help you to excel in all the craziness of life. Prayer will renew your strength and will enable you to go for God with your spiritual batteries recharged. Some of you feel depleted in life. Some of you feel like you can't press on. Some of you feel like you're just weary and you're worn out in life. Turn to the Lord in prayer. Pray to Him and have your strength renewed. Follow the example of our Savior Jesus Christ. After a long day of ministry, He turned to prayer and there He was strengthened. Number three, prayer is so important because it helps us to know God's priorities. How many of you grew up in my generation and prior and you watched Gilligan's Island? Remember that show? Anybody watch Gilligan's Island? Man, what a corny but neat little show. So crazy. Remember the professor? He was so smart. He would take like two coconuts and make a generator to run a radio or something. I mean, if somebody was sick, he would take algae and make some kind of vaccine. He was always inventing and doing these amazing things. But then it hit me one day. He's making generators and vaccines and doing all these amazing things. But he's so smart. Why didn't he just go fix the hole in the boat? It never made sense. I mean, just go fix the boat so you can leave. You know, today we spend a lot of time like the professor. We're doing all these different things, but we fail to spend time doing the most important things. When we look at the life of Jesus, he was extremely focused on things that really matter. See, most of us, to use the illustration of a firearm, we're like a shotgun. We just kind of blast out and do all kind of things. Like a shotgun, it just spreads out all over the place, and that's how a lot of us are. We're just spread out all over. We're doing this, and we're doing that, and we're going here, and we're going there, and we're just busy, 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 and we feel like the busier we are, the more productive we must be. We must be accomplishing a lot because we're doing a lot. It's a shotgun kind of approach to life, but we look at Jesus, we don't see a shotgun at all. We see it more like a rifle. Jesus was laser focused on what he was called to do. As we look at the life of Jesus Christ, he's focused on God's priority. Look at verses 36 and 37. Simon and his companions searched for him, and when they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." So what's happening here, if you were here last week, Jesus had the whole town gathered in front of Peter's house because he had healed Peter's mother-in-law. Word spread about it. The whole town shows up, and everybody wants a little bit of that healing, a little bit of that help. And there are folks everywhere, and they're getting healed. Demons are being cast out. People are being helped and encouraged and strengthened. And more people are coming, and they want more of what they can get from Jesus. And it says there that everyone is looking for you, is what they said to Jesus. When it says that, this means in the original language to pursue with hostile intent, literally to hunt him down. They were hunting down Jesus. Jesus, where are you? Our miracle worker has disappeared. And they're unhappy about it because there are all these people needing to be healed. What an opportunity to spread the fame and all the power of Jesus. They could really just make a big deal out of what they have found in Jesus. Jesus, get back to Peter's house and do what we need you to do. These people had no interest in living under the rule and reign of Christ. All they wanted was a miracle worker, someone to fix all their problems. But the priority of Jesus was to be a redeemer and not a miracle worker. The time Jesus spent with the Father gave him discernment and focused his life on what really mattered. Verse 38, preaching and then eventually the cross. How focused is your life on what really matters? Again, for most of us, we're plenty busy. We're doing all kind of stuff. We're running here and racing there. We've got all kind of list of things we need to get done. But when it's all done, what have we really done? When it's all finished, what have you really accomplished? What eternal difference have you really made? For many of us, it's like a shotgun. We're just blasting out and doing a lot of stuff. As we spend time in prayer, we discover God's priorities. Jesus got up early. He went to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And when everyone else in all the world had a different agenda for Jesus, he knew exactly what he was to do. He was to go forth and preach the gospel and die on the cross for our sins. What is God waiting to reveal to you through seasons spent in prayer? As we pray, we discover God's priorities. What a powerful thing. What an amazing thing we have in prayer. As we pray, God recharges our spiritual batteries. As we pray, we reconnect with God. As we pray, we're strengthened in our faith and we receive the focus we need from the Lord. I challenge you today to commit yourself to a daily time with the Lord in prayer. Let's pray together right now. Father, we thank you that we have the opportunity to speak with you in prayer. It's unbelievable that the God who created the entire universe, the God who made us, who's redeemed us through your own Son, we can talk with you anytime we would like. Scripture tells us you do not sleep and you do not slumber. Any moment of any day, no matter the millions and even billions of people who may turn to you in prayer, your ear is always listening to the cries of each individual person. Thank you that we can talk with you, that we can have fellowship with you, and receive such amazing benefit from spending time in prayer. Lord, it doesn't make much sense that we would not be a praying people, but this culture today has trained us to stay busy, to not sit in solitude and quietness, and to talk to you, but to just stay busy doing a lot of stuff. Lord, we want to change that today. We want to make some fresh commitments to you that we're going to spend time praying, spend time sharing with you our concerns, spending time praising you, giving thanks to you, asking for your help and your direction. So as we gather here today, church, some who are here, perhaps you don't have much of a prayer life at all. Maybe you give thanks in a prayer at mealtime, but not much else. Would you commit to something today? Maybe just every day for about 5 minutes. You'll carve out 5 minutes to talk to God. Would you make that commitment to the Lord right now? For others, you spend time in prayer, maybe more than 5 minutes, maybe much more. And your commitment today needs to be to expand that a little bit. Or better still, maybe if you're faithfully spending the time you need to in prayer, your commitment today might look more like taking some time for a prayer retreat. Unplugging from the world, getting away, leaving behind cell phones and other contact means, and just spending time alone with the Lord. Maybe you need to make that type of commitment today, to just escape all the troubles of this world and spend time with the Lord. What an amazing thing God affords us the opportunity to pray to Him, to take all of our burdens and concerns and find renewal, find fellowship, find a loving Father who loves us with an everlasting love. I know today in this gathering there are lots of burdens that entered this room, a lot of heavy hearts. We cover it up with smiles and handshakes and greetings, but deep down, we all have things that trouble us and concern us. And I wonder right now if we could pray for those needs. I'm going to ask us to do something a little bit different. If you would like to be included in the prayer we're about to have, maybe you're burdened about something in your life or burdened for someone else, some struggle of a family member or friend, I want to ask you right now if you have a prayer need, if you would just stand. You have a prayer need. We're not going to ask you to call it out or share it or anything. We just want to pray for you. Others are going to join around you. Some are standing now. Others who have a prayer need, if you just stand. Lots of people standing up. Nothing to be embarrassed about. We all have needs. But if you have something especially burdening you today, you stand. I'm going to ask now that others around them, just surround them and place a hand on their shoulder. Let them know you care for them. Especially our deacons right now, life group leaders, others, stand and make your way to these who are standing. All through the room, don't be shy about it. Make your way to someone. Look around, find someone standing alone, and put your arm on them. Let them know you're praying. More folks, we got some back here to my right, the back corner to your left, some of the balcony. Make your way to these folks. Let's pray for them. All throughout the room. Spend this time in prayer. Let people know you care about them. You're praying with them. God's given us this community of believers that we could support one another in our time of concern and need. We want to pray for these who are struggling or representing someone else who's struggling. Right now, would you just whisper your prayer to the Lord? Would like at this time, pray for that person you're surrounding. Let them hear you pray on their behalf. If you're comfortable, you do so. Heavenly Father, there are so many needs in this room today, and some who feel especially burdened. They stand to represent their own prayer need or the concern they have about someone else. This world makes us so heavy laden, so overwhelmed. The weight of our burdens, it crushes us. But thank you that your word tells us that we can bring our burdens to you. We can cast all of our cares onto you because you care for us. So in this moment, God, we bring these burdens to you. We pray that you would lift this weight off of our shoulders. For some, they're struggling, God, because they're burdened by their health concern. Maybe the diagnosis from the doctor, the issue they've been battling. We pray for your healing hand. We pray you would be the great physician for these who have need. For others, it's a financial burden, family struggle. Loved one they're concerned about because of the way they're living or their faith situation that they don't know Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you would move in a powerful way and bring comfort and help to these who are struggling. You know every need in this room, Father. You stand ready to help, to bring comfort. You are the ever-present help in our time of need. You're our refuge and our strength. So God, we turn to you. And we ask that you would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Keep us from excessive worry. Help us to trust in you, to see your hand at work. That you would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Help us, Father. Give us that peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I thank you for these who have been willing to stand today to present their burden to you. Encourage them today, Lord, along with all those who are carrying some burden. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to pray to you. Strengthen our faith, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for surrounding these that have struggled. We're going to come to a time of decision where we're going to continue in a spirit of prayer, a time of singing. If you need to make a decision for Christ, we want to invite you to do so. If you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, what a joy it would be for me to talk with you about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to have access to God in prayer through the Lord Jesus. If you need to make a decision for Christ today, you come and share that with me, share it with someone. We're here to help you and encourage you today and help you to find the amazing faith that we have discovered, the amazing salvation that we have found in Jesus Christ. So you come at this time. If you need to join this church family, wouldn't it be great to have a church home where people pray for you and support you and walk through life with you? We would love for you to unite with our church family. You let me know if I can help you with that decision. Right now, as we stand and sing, I'll be waiting here at the front. If I can help you in any way, you make your way forward. Let's stand together.